Thanks for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has touched your life or changed it in any way, we would love to hear your story. Please email it to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Now, don't forget to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, or go to Facebook and like our page. You can also head to YouTube and click that subscribe button. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope this message blesses you in some way.
I said we're going to get to not just some word today, but we're going to get to lots of word today. Our scripture of choice today comes from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, like I've got a good old book up here, open up to 2 Timothy. A lot of you use your cell phones, and that's okay. Grab those, because we're going to look at a lot of scripture. And if you don't have the book, the physical book, you don't have maybe a Bible app, we, of course, will have the scriptures up on the screen for you today. And so, 2 Timothy. Pastor Matt, why 2 Timothy? Did you know that 2 Timothy is the Apostle Paul's last recorded words before his death? The last words. You know, you think about last words. I about called this message last words, but this isn't the last words for me. You know, I'm going to be around this month, and in the future, I'm sure I'll be around. But you know, you think about last words. You know, last words, you know, you say what's most important, and you say what's most timely. And so Paul recorded his last words in 2 Timothy. He knew that his execution was imminent. He realized that. And there were some things that he wanted to communicate with his young protege, Timothy. So last words. So let's go over to 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 1. 2 Timothy 1:1. You know what? I think I'm going to do this today instead. Let's do this. All right, here we go. 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul's last words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, his beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, and as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I like that. Stir up the gift of God that is in you, that you received, Paul said to Timothy, from our relationships, from our time together. Stir up the gift of God. I encourage you to stir up the gift of God. You know, sometimes you've got to stir it up. You know, there's some stuff nobody else can do for you, but there comes times in life where, man, you have got to stir it up. But Pastor Matt, this really wasn't what I wanted. This wasn't what I thought. I didn't see this coming. Verse number 7, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure where I'm headed. Paul said to Timothy in his last words, as he knew his death was imminent, he knew Timothy had some uncertainty, some questions, some doubts. He said, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, a spirit of doubt, a spirit of unbelief, a spirit of overwhelmingness, but he's given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. I love that. I think that that's awesome. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love. Everybody shout out love.
Love.
Love. Do you know what love does? 1 John 4:18. Love casts out fear. Love casts out doubts. Love casts out despair. Love does that. Man, I encourage you, stir up the gift that's in you, but also stir up love. I like that. 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." Come on, Timothy. Paul's saying, God is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I like that. I know whom I have believed. Come on, you got to know who you have believed, and you have got to know that he is able. Everybody shout out, he is able.
He is able.
If you really believe it, shout it out one more time. He is able.
He is able.
Let's personalize this today. Say,
I believe
that he is able.
Amen,
amen, amen. I believe that too. Verse number 13. It says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." Two big things right there, moving forward. Number one, faith. And number two, love. Verse number 14. "That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." Let's move on to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. "You therefore," and just hear the love. Hear the passion. Hear the intensity. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 7, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Amen. Verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of the sort who have strayed concerning the truth." You know, whether we're talking about back then in the day when Paul wrote this, or whether we're talking about today, or whether we're talking about any day in between, you know, you got so many different people making so many different choices. You know, here we're talking about some people who are making some good choices, but there's also people who maybe aren't making such good choices, and maybe some things in between. But I like here where it talks about, it says some might stray. You know, I get the transition that people are questioning. You know, what should I do? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? What should I do? But moving forward, I think it's really important for us. I think it's really important for us as we move forward that we stay unified, that we stay together. Scotty Mack shared this a little bit last week. And you know, if you've got some questions, if you got some doubts about the future, what I would love to see you do is I would love to see you give the future a choice. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. In our bylaws, me as the founder, you know, it talks about how naming, how I have the right to name a successor. And in this process, I think it's also really important not to see that I picked Pastor Larry. No, there's so much more to it than that. I picked Pastor Larry, but I also picked Pastor Kevin to keep doing what he has been doing so nearly flawlessly in this last season. As we move forward with the youth, I picked Nick, and I feel really good about the job that Nick is going to do with the youth. I picked Kim. She's going to be doing a lot of different things. Linda B. You know, there's only one Linda B. And she's going to keep doing what Linda B does. And she's going to be a great, great blessing. And you know, there's probably nobody besides me that has carried the financial prayer load like Linda B and I have. Nearly most every day, Linda B and I will lay our hands on her desk and pray. And John, I'm going to give John an opportunity. It's going to give a bunch of you opportunities to step up and to do more. And so I wrote down in my notes, even after I turned my outline to Nick Friday, I would love to see. Now you can do it whatever you want to do. I learned a long time ago, I can't control what everybody does. But I would love to see you give this thing a chance. Maybe some of you said, well, I'm leaving. Well, maybe give it a month. You can always leave later if you don't think it's where you belong. But I'd highly encourage you to give it a chance because I feel good about it. But Pastor Matt, it's changed. Pastor Matt, this church is going to change. Yes, it is. It is going to change. But you know what? Change doesn't always have to be a bad thing. You know, for whatever reason, under my leadership, I've talked about this for a couple of years. We've hit a wall. We've hit a wall. You know, we have went from three experiences to one here in the last few years. And so, you know what? Yes, it's going to change. But that doesn't have to be all a bad thing. It doesn't. And folks, if I could be just brutally honest. Yeah, but Pastor Matt, we don't want you to go. We liked it as it is. Folks, I've been tired. And I've been pretty drained this last season. And really, I need a change. I really do. I need a change. And I really believe if we'll all stay on board, as many as possible, next week is going to be our first week, the better together, really full motion. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about, you know, why does the two churches come together? What's the wisdom of God in that? You know what? You've got our faith and our finances and our servers, Connect, Serve, Give, Grow, and you mix it with that. And man, I believe, folks, I believe that this can be a good thing. And I believe a month or two down the road, that this place can be farther along than it's been. And I feel good about the staff that's in place. I feel really good about it. And so I do. I just ask you to give this thing a chance. You know, Pastor Larry, some of you come on Wednesday nights and some of you don't. Folks, he is in a preaching groove in this last season. In fact, his message, Quantum Leap, changed me. It did something. It reached deep down in me. And so I think his teaching, yeah, it's different than mine, but I think it's going to take a step up, and Pastor Kevin's going to, he's going to take a step up, and the rest of the staff, and you, and folks, I close my eyes, and I see through the eyes of faith that this church can go forward. I'd love to see it double. I'd love to see it triple. I'd love to see that its absolute greatest days would be before us and not behind us. You know the series that I had planned? You know, we planned out the series months ago. You know what the series we were going to start next week was? Or 2 weeks was going to be? The latter is greater than the former. I know you're processing of a lot of emotions right now. But if you dare to believe that through it all, that your latter is going to be greater than the former, say amen.
Amen.
Folks, I believe that. And I see things happening. Folks, we've had salvations in 7 of the last 8 weeks. We've already had one rededication this morning here. The finances, God spoke to me right before we started this church and said, because you have been so faithful to give. And this was in 1997. God said, this church will never lack for finances. And you know, he didn't say as long as I was here. Here's what your job is. Keep bringing your tithes. Keep bringing your offering. Because more is coming in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You want to hear something that's just going to, I didn't know this till this morning. You know, I often report at the end of every month, we were in the black, we were in the red. How many know that we've been doing that, right? How many have heard me the last year and a half? I'd say, hey, we were in the red, but we were only in the red 1,800. We were in the black, 2,000. But Linda B., it's always about 2,000 either way, isn't it? What month just ended? Do you think July is a good month typically for churches? No, it's not. I've just found this out this morning. Number one, I'll say it like this. We were in the black last month. If you're thankful for that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Who wants to know by how much we were in the black last month? Raise your hand if you want to know. We were in the black by 19, not 100, $19,000 in the month of July. This church is never going to lack for finances. It's never going to lack for finances. And guess what? You get to be a part of that. And that's just awesome. Wow. I believe, folks, the future is bright. I'm not saying it's not hard a little bit. I'm not saying it's not sad. I've cried a lot. Last Wednesday night, we did put an offer on a house and got a contract signed on a house. And Amy and I and Jake ended up, it was before church up there, and we were at Chili's, and it's just a wow. Amy and I don't like Chili's. Jake likes Chili's. You see who runs the family, you know. We ended up at Chili's. Amy and I split fajitas. Yippee. Their motto means needs to be nothing too good, nothing too bad at Chili's. So, but sitting there, and I just wept. I just sat there and started crying. This isn't easy on me either. But I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe that the Lord was in it. I wouldn't. And I believe, come on, if you that say, we didn't want this though. But folks, I have just felt like, in a way, I feel like my messages have been right on and better than they've ever been. But also, I feel like part of me is just like, there's like a grace that's kind of lifting, and that's not best for you. We need grace. We don't need it to lift. We need it to increase. So I guess if you go ahead and put the next scripture up there, 2:19, I guess what I'm saying is, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. If you believe that, say amen. In fact, come on, I think we should cheer about it. I think we should applaud. I think we should praise God for that. Because I believe that the foundation of God stands. I absolutely believe that. Verse number 20. But in a great house. Everybody say a great house. There are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. You know what that vessels. And go back to 20 if you would, please. You know, vessels here, it might be like our dishes. It says that in a great house, and I believe that this is a great house, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Man, I preached this years ago. Some of you will remember this, but I was reminded of this. Man, in a great house, there's two different types of vessels. Some for honor and some for dishonor. You know, the MFV, the Matt Flanders version, would say, you know what, at your house, you've got some fine china. This fine china was from mom, your wedding, back in 1865. Can you believe that, folks? Is that incredible? Is that awesome? There's vessels. In a great house, there's vessels. Some for honor. But also, you know what? There's paper plates. Does anybody remember me preaching this years ago? Raise your hand if you remember this. Okay, here. Do you remember the analogy I used when I gave paper plates? What food did I talk about? Does anybody remember? Who said that? Polly. That about makes me want to cry. But you would remember that. You know what I do with paper plates? I take out a nasty hot dog, put it on the paper plate, warm it up in the microwave for 30 seconds, and eat it. And then guess what I do with the stinking paper plate that's had a nasty hot dog in it? I throw it in the nasty trash. In a great house, there's two types of vessels. There's fine china that was made in 1865. But there's also paper plates that you throw a hot dog on. You throw it in the trash. How do you see yourself? Moving forward, you going to be china or are you going to be paper plates? Man, I want to be fine china for him. Amen. I want to be fine china for him. All right, let's keep going. Verse number 22. Yeah, go to 22. Let's just go to 3:1. Sorry, my time is escaping, and I haven't even got to the title of the message today. 10:53. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but not denying its power. From such people turn away. Verse number 10. 3:10. Remember, this is Paul to Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Verse 12. Yes, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Verse 14. But you must continue. Paul to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And finally, chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge you therefore before God. Come on, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And finally, verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. This week, as I was driving, thinking about today's message, I heard these words, a tapestry of grace. A tapestry of grace. And I knew immediately that was a message Pastor Brian Zond, you that remember back in the day, he used to come preach for us all the time. He'd do our anniversaries. And I knew that he had a portion of one of his books called A Tapestry of Grace. What is a tapestry? It's a heavy, hand-woven upholstery with a rich, complicated, pictorial design. Okay, that's what a tapestry is. And those words, thinking about today's message, a tapestry of grace. What a tapestry. I was able to find two different tapestries. And the thing about a tapestry, and the thing that Pastor Brian in his book talked about, a tapestry. Basically, if you look at this tapestry, it has two sides. Okay? It has two sides. And I got to keep this moving, so I'm going to stick with my notes here really close. But it has two sides. One, as you can see, one has a beautiful design that tells a story. But the other side, it's just kind of a mess. And you know, you can't even hardly tell what it is. Yet, as you keep walking, by faith. Come on, our life is like a tapestry. It's a tapestry of grace. As you keep walking by faith, eventually things turn around. And you see that your life isn't such a mess. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's a beautiful thing. But the amazing thing about a tapestry is the artist, they work from the backside. I don't know how they do it. I can't explain it. I'm the least gifted when it comes to art, and yeah, but yet it's incredible. It's crazy. You know, it makes me think of Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. It says that we know. Come on, as you leave here today, you have to know that all things can work together for good. It doesn't say that God caused all things. How many know a lot of times what we experience, it's because of our choices? But it doesn't say God causes everything to work together except for your bad choices. It says that God causes all things to work together for good. And some of you've had some bad. Folks, listen. The Word of God says that all things can work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God works all things together, but it's for those that love God. If you love God, say amen.
Amen.
Hear this not as a tired cliche, yet as a word from a loving God who is here to restore hope, that in your life, all things are going to work together for good. Centuries ago, talking about tapestry, centuries ago when tapestries became popular, many times the tapestry would tell a story of a king and his kingdom. A king, they tell a story about a king and his kingdom. Come on, we're part of the kingdom of God. We have a king, King Jesus. Folks, your life is like a tapestry. God is working kind of from the backside. And you know, sometimes it's kind of messy. You know, you got this thread that's sticking out, and you got this thread that's sticking out, and you can't tell. But folks, there's a day. God's working from the backside, but there comes a day when God turns everything around. If thou canst believe, all things can work together for good. All things can. Not just some things, but absolutely all things. Same with this one. I think this is telling a story. It's telling the Christmas story. That's Jesus in the manger. Folks, you're the tapestry. God is the artist. Artists work from the back, the side that is a mess. That can be our lives in the present moment. Sometimes it can be confusing, because sometimes it can be a tangled up mess. Yet the one working on the loom is weaving His grace. Come on, if you're here today and you want God, He's working the loom. You want Him to weave His grace into your life, into even realms that you can't sense or you can't see, but you believe that He is weaving His grace into your life, and you believe that something beautiful is being produced, and absolutely all things that have happened to you can work together for good. Say amen. Why don't you stand up on your feet, and let's close our eyes, and let's lift a hand up to heaven, and let's just surrender to God the artist. Let's surrender to God who's working on the backside. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it's a mess. But man, if you want the grace of God to be poured out in your life, just lift your hands up right now, and let's receive an outpouring of that grace. God, we stand in Your presence today. Lord, we believe you're weaving your grace into our lives in realms and dimensions and heights and depths and breadths and lengths that we can't even see or sense. But God, we believe your word is true and something beautiful is being produced, and you are using all things to produce this masterpiece. The threads, the things that have happened in our life, some ugly things, some hard things, some things we don't understand. But we trust the artist. It's Jesus Christ. God, it's you. Lord, pour out great faith for each and every one of us, knowing that you are causing all things to work together for good. And may your amazing grace be woven into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.